This episode of the CMO Suite is brought to you by Uconnex. Uconnex provides digital solutions and teams to brand CMOs, VPs, and marketers looking for true transparency in the biddable media space. From paid social and PPC to complex platforms like the Trade Desk, brands from across the world have connected to Uconnex. Visit them today at uconnex.com. And No Kid Hungry. We're proud to promote No Kid Hungry and their many initiatives to help kids in need of meals. Visit them at nokidhungry.org. This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. Winmo tracks every national advertiser, their agency relationships, and key executives within each organization. Get instant media spend, competitor tracking, and industry trend analysis in one easy-to-use application that integrates with all major CRM platforms. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite. Finally, the CMO Suite is presented by thecmocouncil.org as their official marketers podcast. The Chief Marketing Officer Council is the only global network of executives specifically dedicated to high-level knowledge exchange, thought leadership, and personal relationship building among senior corporate marketing leaders and brand decision makers. The CMO Council's 15,000-plus members control more than $550 billion in aggregated annual marketing expenditures and run complex distributed marketing and sales operations worldwide. For more information on membership, visit thecmocouncil.org. Let's start the show.
You're in the CMO Suite, the podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You are listening to the CMO Suite presented by Connectivity Holdings. This is your host, Sean Halter. As many of you know, we are recording, we've been recording all summer long out of Tampa, Florida. I tremendously miss our studio in New York City. But one of the benefits for us in some ways is, as many of you know, we typically record all of our episodes in person, whether that's in New York or out on the West Coast in Los Angeles. And we've done a few remotes down in Miami and San Francisco. But by doing some of this even more remotely, it is allowing us to be able to talk to some guests that are in some different parts of the country, whether they are CMOs or VPs of marketing or CEOs. And our next guest today, who will be helping us close out this COVID season, so to speak, I'm super excited about. It is Stephanie Stuckey. She is actually the granddaughter, I believe, of the original founder of Stuckey's. Am I correct?
That's right.
Stephanie, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you. Your background is interesting. So you've been popping up on my social feeds a lot lately on LinkedIn. And one of the things for me, I thought, well, that's funny. I haven't seen her on here that much before. And I was just trying to figure out, you know, did I click on something? Was there somebody that you were connected to that kind of, you know, popped you into my feed? So I did what any good podcast host would do. I did a little bit of research. And initially I thought, well, she must have worked her way up from, you know, filling all the little bags and working her all the way up. But actually you haven't been in that part of the business, if I'm right, for quite a while. And now you're really back running the whole show. And I want to talk about that history to some extent, but am I right with that? Am I wrong with that? Where am I in the lineage of Stuckey's?
You're dead on right. And Stuckey's has had such a crazy journey. And I think journey is a good reference for them because we're all about traveling. The company fell out of family hands for decades. And my father got them back in the mid 80s. But I have completely been uninvolved in the company other than being a Stuckey and knowing my grandfather and stopping at the stores my entire life. But no, I've had a completely different career. And post age 50.
I'm with you. My club age is 48, Stephanie.
Yeah, I'm 49 and holding. But just, I just think if you get an amazing opportunity, you should grab it.
Jump in. Yeah.
That's why I did.
So one of the guests earlier this year that I had on was the CMO for Getty Images. And we use Getty Images with, you know, with some of the companies that we own in the advertising space. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I just never put kind of two and two together. And so as we were researching the show, I was like, oh, now that makes sense. And, you know, they were in a similar trajectory to some extent. The Getty family, you know, built it and formed it, and then they sold pieces off and then they didn't own any of it. And then some of the brothers and the uncles kind of got back together, bought some of the parts back, and then really blew it up into kind of, you know, this whole thing. And now they, you know, they bought all these different photo archives, and that was just such a really cool, interesting story. I could have talked to that CMO for an hour just about the Getty family and that whole thing. And certainly I don't want to make you, you know, talk for an hour about, you know, about your grandfather, but
I can talk an hour about him. Yeah, he was an amazing man.
Started back in like around 1930s, right? And he was selling, in essence, pecans by the side of the road. Am I close?
That's right. 1937. And thank you for pronouncing pecans the way I do. Most people say pecans, correct pronunciation.
I grew up in Ohio, and we would always drive down to Florida with my grandparents every year. And so you'd see Stuckey's everywhere along the way. We'd always stop on the way back. And, you know, it's funny. It's one of those kind of iconic brands. If you've ever been in Florida or Georgia or anywhere through there, you've seen it, whether you saw it when you were a kid or you saw it when you were a teenager, or you saw it whenever, you know, you knew that name. It was so iconic. And, you know, it's great to see it kind of having, you know, I don't want to say resurgence because it never really went away like anything else. Things kind of go through some of those transitions. But your dad sold it, or I'm sorry, your grandfather sold it. Right.
And no, had a downfall. No, we've plummeted.
And that's okay. Look, those kinds of things happen, obviously, right? So you build a great business, you sell it to somebody maybe who isn't part of the family business. And in some ways, that's the history that brought it back to you, you know, and brought it back to your dad. Because without that, who knows, it could have, you know, just been bought out by, you know, 7-Eleven, and nothing wrong with those guys, but they could have just turned them into more 7-Elevens. And then the whole coolness of what it is gets lost. I want to jump into that history for just a second. You know, we worked with the Metropolis brothers, who bought up Pabst a few years ago, and they bought all of these other kind of iconic regional brands up. And I think it was one of the coolest things we got to work on was just the fact that you had all of these iconic names that really meant something to people, whether that was Pabst or Lone Star or Schlitz or whatever that is. And those are the cool things, really, when you think about it, these iconic brands that you can kind of bring back to life. So talk a little bit about how in the world did your dad decide to, in essence, rebuy it back? And do you remember that whole process? How old were you when that kind of happened?
I was a freshman in college, so I do remember it very well. And I was 12 when my grandfather died, so I knew him well also. My father had worked with Stuckey's for a while in like his 20s. And then decided to pursue a different career. He went into politics. He was in Congress for a decade.
Okay.
And then he left that, and he was really brilliant in founding a company called Interstate Dairy Queen Corporation. He owned the franchise rights. He created the company to Dairy Queen stores on the interstate highway system. And he ran that very successfully for decades. And he was running Dairy Queen when the company that bought Stuckey's approached my father, and basically they were being subjected to a lot of litigation from former franchisees for complete mismanagement of the company and shutting down stores. And it was just a losing proposition for them. It was a company called IC Industries, which is a railroad conglomerate based in Chicago. They had nothing to do with roadside stores. They had no experience with our brand. They bought out Pet Dairy Corporation that had bought out Stuckey's in 1964. So it was just a series of mergers and really unfortunate events that led to my father coming in on the scene. They saw where my father had been successful with his Dairy Queen business. And he was also doing, my dad is a serial entrepreneur, I think can resonate with a lot of your listeners. And very much like my grandfather. My grandfather had like 5 side hustles at any given time.
Yeah.
So my father he did some Bojangles. He did the Dairy Queens. He owned a bank. He has a timber company. He's very successful. And they approached him and asked him if he wanted to essentially take Stuckey's back. He got it for a deal, but it was not performing well. And that was in 1985. At that point, there were right around 100 locations. And at our peak, we were right at 370. So clearly,
and you were in college at that time.
Yes, I was at college. I was in college.
So when your dad went into politics, was he in politics in Atlanta or was he in politics up in D.C.?
He was in D.C. He was a congressman from Middle Georgia, which is where we're from, Eastman, Georgia.
And so then you yourself kind of got into politics a little bit. Am I right? Prior to this, weren't you working for the state of Georgia to some extent?
I was elected a representative for 14 years. I was a state representative from the Atlanta area. actually fourth generation politician in my family. My great grandfather was the county sheriff. My grandfather, Mr. Williamson Stuckey, was a state representative. And I actually served with several gentlemen who had served with my grandfather. My grandfather served, it was all men. So that was kind of a cool legacy to have, you know, overlap with some of my grandfather's former colleagues. And then my father was in Congress. So
it's pretty amazing.
14 years.
When you think about that, you know, again, the name itself becomes this iconic brand, and not saying that that, you know, played a role as you start to get into politics or when your grandfather did, but the fact that the name continued even through perhaps some of the craziness of the company that had bought it out to still have brand recognition out in the marketplace, and for your family to have served as well as obviously they did and built the reputation that they did. Again, I'm sure we could spend plenty of time talking about politics and what all that is today.
I did use the Stuckey logo on my my yard signs, and I handed out 2 ounce pecan log rolls at my campaign
event. That's awesome.
I mean, life gives you pecan log rolls. You go, life gives you pecans.
You make
it
work.
Pecan log rolls. You give them out like that. You use your advantages. I would say it certainly helped. Name recognition is good.
You served politically. You did your time there. And at what point does your dad come to you and say, "Hey, I want you to get in the family business"?
Actually, he never said that.
Really?
Yeah, I'll make this short, but I left politics the best way possible. I did not run for reelection. And I figured 14 years was a very good run. I was tired of being in the minority party. I was a Democrat. I still am, but I'm more of an independent these days, but definitely being Democratic. But I decided to pursue another passion, which is the environment. And I ran, and I'm a lawyer, and I ran an environmental nonprofit law firm for several years and was representing riverkeepers and the Sierra Club. So I was a pro-environmental lawyer, and I did not work for a corporate interest or industry. And then the mayor of Atlanta, who was a friend of mine, Kasim Reed, asked me to head up sustainability for City of Atlanta, which was just an exciting opportunity. I took that. I did that role for 3.5 years. And when Mayor Reed left office, I continued my work in sustainability with a very well-known environmental firm in Atlanta, was heading up sustainability for them. And then my father's former business partners came to me, and they had sold Interstate Dairy Queen to Warren Buffett, which is a nice deal. Cashed out and done well, and had essentially left Stuckey's being managed by a skeleton crew of wonderful, hardcore employees, but a very small, scrappy staff. And there had been no president or CEO for about 8 years, just run by mainly two individuals who were just keeping it alive, which shows me, I'm a big fan of Warren Buffett's. And, you know, he said when looking at companies to run or to take over, he really looks at companies that haven't been well managed or haven't been managed.
And because it's an opportunity?
Are still surviving, right? The fact that Stuckey's was still around with very little resources, like very little resources, says there's a there. And so my dad's former partner said, "Why are we hanging on to the Stuckey stock? We're just going to sell it essentially for the licensing value." They'd sell the brand and people could like trademark, you know, make t-shirts and stuff. And they asked me, "Would you be interested in buying our shares?" And I said, "Well, if I'm going to buy your shares, I want to run the company." Because I sunk my life savings into buying this company, and I did a complete career change. Wow. And I own 49%. And so I bought out my dad's partners. And then my dad and I were running the company together for about 6 months. I love my father. That did not work. Okay. Yeah, I was like, "We've got to do this. We've got to buy a candy plant. We've got to merge. We've got to do healthy pecans. We've got to ramp up our merchandising. We got to take out a loan." And my dad's like, "Slow down, slow down. Like, what are you doing? You're going to give me a heart attack." He just turned 85. And I said, "Dad, just sell me your shares. Just sell me your shares." And so he did. And now we get along so well. I'm back to being daughter. So I own the company.
You mix family in there. It gets a little crazy sometimes, but it's funny to think at 50, which for a lot of us that are approaching that age and either kind of trying to figure out, you know, figure out what's the next thing. You know, you obviously, again, you were an accomplished politician. You were an advocate for the environment. You were an advocate for a lot of things. Clearly, you could have just, you know, I don't want to say ridden out, you know, your time and just enjoyed yourself, but to jump back into something that clearly you've got so much passion about. And at the same time, you're kind of dragging it into the future, you know? And that is one of the most interesting things sometimes about these iconic brands, especially if they've been owned, you know, for some length of time by, you know, maybe a family or the CEO, again, is in their 70s or in their 80s, or there is no CEO. Today's consumers, you know, you can't reach them the same way. You know, you can certainly put up billboards the way you used to, old school style, but that name is almost so iconic that, you know, again, a younger generation thinks it's cool because it's something that they saw when they were kids or, you know, when their kids were kids or whatever that, you know, whatever that is. Right. So there's still plenty of life left in the brand, and it's great to see you jump in. What's been for you the hardest part? Because you've never really kind of run other stuff, but you haven't really run maybe a company quite like this with some of the things that are just different than law firm or politics. What's been some of the most challenging parts of that?
Yeah. So real quickly, I do want to address a couple of quick things on the age issue. I am the exact age as Ray Kroc when he took on McDonald's. And I love his story. I've read his book. I've seen the founder. And he was selling those Mix-O-Matic machines. He was a salesman.
Yeah.
So
a great salesman. Yeah.
A great salesman, but he was 50-ish when he took on McDonald's. And so I'm a big believer that your career trajectory is really based on skill sets. And you can get the knowledge base if you surround yourself with smart people you trust who have that knowledge base, and then you really hunker down and work hard to learn it. So I don't profess to know all the ins and outs of retail pricing or franchise law. So I'm surrounding myself with a good legal team and got an excellent vice president who understands pricing and buying and merchandising. I've got a wonderful branding person. So you surround yourself with smart people.
I was just going to say, you know, I started entrepreneurship at 40, you know, and so I was making good money. I was in sales, working for a big company. And I just thought, if I don't do this now, I'm going to be the old guy sitting in the back smoking cigarettes, which I don't smoke, but, you know, talking about how great media used to be. And I'd had enough money to do so. It leapt out. And, you know, to your point, that journey, you know, what you know at 40 or 50 is so tremendously valuable. And perhaps if nothing else, with all of the chaos that is some of this COVID situation, you know, a lot of people that are perhaps our age who are either being laid off, who've never been laid off in their lifetime, or just deciding what's really important to them, I feel like we're going to see a renaissance of entrepreneurship for marketers and others in the industry who are going to go out and just build their own thing and see what maybe they've been missing to some extent.
Well, and to go back to my my guru, Warren Buffett, he underscores the importance of emotional maturity when he looks at companies that he invests in and leaders that he thinks are running good companies. It's emotional maturity. And that's something that's gained through life experiences. And I think that especially is important for me. Yeah. It's been invaluable. I will also say, you talked about our demographics. Absolutely. Our demographic, I mean, we are such a scrappy team. People say, well, what's your marketing research show? And I'm like, that would be me looking at my Facebook demographics. But I know my demographics for Stuckey's is age 45 plus. And so I have brought on a partner. Actually, as of today, the merger documents were approved. Wow. I have merged with a partner. I am CEO and he's president. His name's R.G. Lamar, and he's a good decade and a half younger than me. And he runs a pecan company, and we are going to be doing a whole line of healthy pecans, snack pecans and pecans for baking. And that's how Stuckey started, was as a pecan stand on the side of the road. So if you take on a new venture in life, don't let naysayers bring you down. You just have to believe in yourself. right after I took over Stuckey's, somebody I really respected and loved, so it kind of hurt, but they said, "You've never even run a lemonade stand. Why do you think you can run a company?" And I said, I thought about it and I said, well, maybe I don't know how to run a lemonade stand, but I know how to run Stuckey's. Nobody knows this brand better than I do, except maybe my father. Nobody living, and my aunt. Love this brand. I knew my grandfather. I know the stores. I knew his vision. And I've read everything about him. When I took over the company, I inherited 6 cases of archival files that had literally not been opened since he died. It was like opening a
Pandora's box or time machine. Yeah.
Yeah. And time capsule. And I read everything. I've studied his business method, and I'm in many ways being respectful and true for what his vision was for the company. And I think I think people want that.
I think, you know, sometimes again, people who you care about maybe want to provide tough love because they don't maybe necessarily want you to jump in and then you're like, oh my God, you know, I'll say a brief story. And then I want to talk a tiny bit more about where you kind of see the future of it. When I was thinking of starting an advertising agency and I was in media sales, I got sent up to the CEO for that group. And she did almost the same thing. She sat me on a couch, said, I hear you're going to start an advertising agency. I was like, yep. She's like, well, what do you know about HR? And what do you know about leases? And what do you know about insurance? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, well, then what in the world makes you think you can do this? You're making so much money, Sean. And I just said, I don't know. I'm just ready. She had a point. So to be fair, I stayed for another maybe 3 to 6 months to do more research on those things that I did not know about. But, you know, I've never looked back. That moment in time was a test for myself too, though, to be able to decide, am I willing to put in the work? You know, to your point, am I willing to build something from scratch and surround myself with people, hopefully, that know some of these things better than I do? I didn't know a lot about, you know, that side of marketing. I knew media sales. That's all I knew, but I knew enough. And I knew, again, to your point, if you surround yourself with people and if you have the passion for building something, you know, you can build it from there. So talk about the merger for just a second, if you can. How do you think that will impact the Stuckey's brand and how you split your time and where do you see it going from there?
Well, we'll still be Stuckey's. So they merged into Stuckey's. So it's Front Porch Pecans is the name of the company. We will be putting out their pecan line. And so I just think it complements nicely and it goes with the changing food taste of Americans. People are looking for healthier options. But having said that, I believe very much in being true to our origins. We started selling pecans on the side of the road, but what really made us famous is this little pecan log roll. That's what we're known for. If you say Stuckey's, I'd say, you know, 9 times out of 10, people say pecan log roll or also stopping at the stores, but they buy the pecan log roll. So I recognize we're a candy company. We're not going to suddenly be marketing ourselves as this health food company. But at the same time, we're going to offer options. And it's also going to help me just division of labor as we grow and expand. We've got big plans. My grandfather sold our candy plant along with the company in 1964. So we have, we've outsourced our product. And we have, I mean, very reliable people who have been, you know, companies that have been making our product, but it's not the same as making it ourselves. So we are hopeful that soon in the very near future, we will have our own manufacturing capacity. So we're working on that. And my partner he's got that experience and background. So he will be helping with the manufacturing end. So we'll have manufacturing stores, which aren't corporate owned, but they're franchised. And we'll have our own line and we have our B2B retailers and we have a distribution center. So, I mean, just really exciting how it's all starting to come together.
In less than a year, you're kind of turning everything upside down and rebuilding it and reimagining it to some extent, which is great.
I am, but I came with a great base. You know, I started on second base, not on home plate.
So do you have family there? Do you have kids? How are you dividing up your time between your home life and your work life now so that it's the right mix of being able to jump all in, but also being able to take some time for yourself?
Yeah. I've got 2 kids. I'm divorced. So, but sharing child rearing responsibilities, fortunately, my kids are older. My son just started Auburn this week. So he's a freshman in college. And my daughter just started high school.
Great.
So we're managing. They are like, I think, so tired of having to go with me and stop at Stuckey's. I always thought it was fun when I was a kid, but they kind of roll their eyes.
Be pretty crazy if it comes another generation, though. You never know, right? You never know.
Yeah, I'm counting on one of them. And I've got a nephew who's working in the business and owns two Stuckey stores. And so he's kind of grown. He's being groomed to get more involved in the company, I hope.
It's cool, again, to see that kind of come full circle. With the last few minutes that we've got, let's talk a little bit about the future itself and kind of where you feel like marketing fits within the Stuckey's brand. And so do you feel like, to some extent, this line extension, you know, is going to be where you guys put some of your emphasis on time? Are you anticipating, you know, from a sales standpoint, that the pecan log itself at grocers and other retailers is going to generate, you know, the largest chunk of revenue for you? Or how do you see that diversification, and where do you see marketing playing a role?
Yeah, right now the majority of our revenue is generated through sales of our product that could either be in our stores or through our B2B outlets. So we have a lot of retailers that sell our product. We are not in the big retailers like the chains such as Walmart and Costco, et cetera, because we don't have our own manufacturing capacity currently. So that's why that's such a critical piece of our business plan. And then we can also private label for other companies. So hopefully soon that will be part of our future. But the short-term plan is to just really push sales of our product online, either via Amazon or on our website. I will say, as far as our marketing strategy, I'm just really going back to the basics and highlighting what my grandfather's marketing strategy was. We have not really invested in marketing since the 1970s.
That's okay.
The company that acquired Stuckey's had some marketing budget, but really there hasn't been a heavy marketing budget in a long time. So we're just doing some basic Google and Facebook ads, and I'm pulling a lot of my grandfather's old collateral. I'm using his old logo his images, and this, you know, Find Highway Happiness t-shirt. This is my grandfather's old collateral that I just pulled from the archives and had scanned and digitized.
Well, sometimes
that's
the best.
Trying to be authentic. That's the other thing I just want to stress is that if you stop at some of the stores right now, they're fixer uppers. And so just be patient with us. I fully recognize some of the stores aren't what we remember as kids, and I'm working on it.
Well, you've done quite a lot considering the time you've been there. It's pretty amazing how quickly you managed to make those changes. And again, back to your point with the Stuckey's brand itself, one of the best forms of any kind of advertising is, you know, evangelicals who remember it and love the brand, and you know, the fact that the name is something that for those of us who stopped there or ate the products made you smile. And we could all use as much of that as potentially possible. Well, Stephanie Stuckey, thank you so much for making time for us today. I continue to follow, you know, everything you're doing on the social space. I'm excited for your journey. It's so incredible to me to again see people
who end wearing my hat.
People who spent some time in some other places who
got
love
the
a brand.
Classic souvenirs. We got rubber alligator. We got Duncan Bird.
Well, my grandmother had one of those. That's so funny. If you're not watching
monkey.
This on YouTube, she's pulling
monkey.
Out all the stops, everything that's there.
Ashtray shaped like a toilet that says, put your butts here. You know, this is
the fun stuff.
It
makes you
smile.
It is.
Classic Americana. That's what we're bringing back. So come stop at Stuckey's or visit us online.
No better time than this year to get in a car and drive this country and enjoy what's made this country great. That's for sure. Well, thank you for joining us on the show. Listen, if you don't follow her on LinkedIn, go and stalk her there. You're a heavy poster, which is great. I love to see that you're always posting interesting stuff on there, which again helps all of us relive the brand. You're welcome. Thank you for joining us on the show. And thank you guys for listening to this episode of the CMO Suite.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. Podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You're a C-level manager. You shouldn't have to know the difference between behavioral or contextual targeting, but your agency should. UConnects provides brands and biddable teams direct access to platforms like The Trade Desk, Google, Amazon, Facebook, OTT, and more. Their U.S.-based traders can train your in-house team or provide complete transparency with no minimums and CPM-based service pricing for true transparency. Something Mighty Hive, The Trade Desk, and Centro simply don't offer. Tired of being the smartest one in the room? Reach out to UConnex today for a free demo. UConnex, the world's leader in true, transparent, biddable media.
This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite.